All right. The first case of the day is appeal number 023365, United States versus Revelis Ortega. And Ms. Kukla? Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning, Your Honor. The general rule, of course, is that warrantless searches are invalid unless you fall within an exception to the general rule. Evidence discovered as a result of an illegal search is the fruit of the poisonous tree and must be suppressed. It's uncontested in this case that the agents did not have a search warrant or consent to conduct a search at the time they performed the security sweep. The government claims that the agents received consent from Ms. Tabazon. Third-party consent or authority is only present when the actual owner of the property is gone. When the owner is present, officers must obtain consent from him to search. Consent by Mr. Robles was never sought nor received by the agents. None of the cases on third-party consent deal with the situation where the known owner of the property was present during the search. In every third-party consent case, the court makes it clear that it relies on the absence of the defendant in order to justify that search. The government concedes in this case that the entry was illegal, and the district court found the entry was illegal. They concede they found the bag before consent was obtained. To suggest you can do something more at this point to legitimize the search is ridiculous. The agent's conduct of asking Tabazon for consent clearly shows that they knew they didn't have consent to pick up and seize what they had already found during their protective sweep. Agents knew the owner of the bag was in the apartment. That's Mr. Robley, and yet they never sought permission
from him. The owner of what?
I'm sorry?
They conceded the owner of what was in the bag?
The owner of the bag was in the apartment.
Of the bag?
Yes, the owner
Not
of the bag.
Apartment.
He was in the apartment. And they
But the owner of the apartment gave consent.
But the agents knew when they went in.
Yeah, well, I just want to make it abundantly clear that they were searching the apartment. Am I correct? That's what they had the permission to do.
Yes.
From the owner.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes, they were searching the apartment, but they were searching for a particular item. They knew before they went in that they were looking for a particular black bag under a bed because their confidential informant had told them that they were looking for the black bag under the bed. So the particular item they were searching for, they knew beforehand, and in fact saw it immediately upon making their illegal entry. In other words, when they did their protective sweep, they found and saw that particular bag. Now, a person can only give consent to search if they've got either actual authority or apparent authority. Now, if it was a situation where the agents didn't know whose bag it was, and so they could have been mistaken and thought that it was Ms. Tabazon's bag, that would be a different situation. But here, before they went in, they knew the bag was Mr. Robley's bag. And there's no mistake that it could have been Ms. Tabazon because the government concedes that the agents told Ms. Tabazon before getting consent from her that she wasn't a target. So by their telling her that she's not a target, they are acknowledging that they knew the bag that had the drugs wasn't hers. She can't give consent to search what she doesn't have.
She didn't. She didn't give consent to search the bag. She gave consent to search the apartment. Now, the real question is whether or not there was an expectation of privacy or a right to complain about that search warrant by the parties who were occupying it, including Robles. Right?
Mr. Robles was an overnight guest, and
yes,
he has the right to complain.
Does he have a right to object to the consent to search the apartment?
He has a right to consent to or object to a search of his bag.
Well, he's done that. They just lost, that's all.
The agents had no right to search his bag. It was his bag. They knew it was his bag, Your Honor. Here the agents testified that it's their standard practice only to seize evidence after consent has been obtained. The owner of the bag was sitting right next to them. That's Mr. Robles. The agents knew the rule, and yet they violated it. They violated it by never asking Mr. Robles for consent to search his bag. And it is not a plain view situation either, because to have a legal plain view, you must have a legal right to be where you make the observation. In this case, the district judge found that the entry itself was illegal.
The question is whether or not the consent, subsequent consent, attenuates the problem of the initial improper entry.
Well, again...
Is that about right?
Yes, I think that the issue is that Ms. Cabazon has no authority to consent to search the bag.
She didn't give it. She just gave authority to search the premises. The bag was found on the premises.
And to open the bag would require the permission of Mr. Robles.
Well, that's the issue, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Before the illegal entry, the agents knew they were looking for the black gym bag. They had been told that by the confidential informant. They knew it was under the bed. Before the illegal entry, the agents knew that the bag belonged to Mr. Robles. Before their illegal entry, they knew Ms. Cabazon was not a target and was not suspected of any criminal wrongdoing. And before their illegal entry, the agents knew that Ms. Cabazon had no authority over that bag because it belonged to Mr. Robles. They also never sought nor received permission from Mr. Robles to search, and he was present in the apartment. Therefore, the evidence must be suppressed and should have been suppressed. This is a clear Fourth Amendment violation.
So your position then is that the consent really has no bearing on it because the consent was not for the bag.
Correct.
So even if the magistrate's credibility determinations were correct, because she did weigh the testimony of the agents versus Cabazon, that's really almost irrelevant to your position, since you're saying that they knew whose bag it was when they came in.
Yes.
And she couldn't give permission to search that bag.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Kerland.
Good morning. May it please the court, I'm Michael Gerland on behalf of the United States. The defense counsel has, for the first time in the reply brief and at oral argument this morning, raised the argument as to whether or not Cabazon's consent extended to a search of the gym bag. The district court found that the agents were authorized to look in the bedroom, that the agents were authorized to look under the bed. The district court also found that the evidence was in plain view, that there was no closed container, but that the bag was open. And therefore, there was no search of the bag, and there is no issue. Even if the bag was closed, counsel has misstated the fact as to whether or not the officers would necessarily have known that the bag was Cabazon's. Their argument essentially is the officers did not suspect Cabazon to be the owner of the drugs, therefore, they must have known the bag was not hers. That's a speculation based on nothing in the record, Your Honors. The apartment was Cabazon's. It was her bedroom. She was having a niece sleep in the bedroom. The gym bag could have belonged to Cabazon. It could have belonged to anyone in the apartment.
Well, help me out here. If we affirm this case, wouldn't we be saying that an illegal entry, no matter how violent, will not taint a subsequent consent as long as the agents read the consent form to the person and tell her she is not a subject, because that's really all we have here to separate the consent from that illegal forcible entry? Where am I wrong?
The facts found by the district court, Your Honor, show that there was much more which occurred between the time of the illegal entry and the time that the consent was obtained, such that the consent was not the fruit of the illegal entry. Here, after the officers entered the apartment and after they secured the premises, they took Ms. Cabazon into the kitchen. They had concealed their weapons at the time. They started to discuss the consent form at the time. Cabazon, however, Your Honor, wasn't prepared at that time to go forward. She had other concerns. There was a boy in the apartment named Felipe, and she wanted to attend to the needs of the boy, and she did so. And the officers waited while Ms. Cabazon took Felipe into a bed in the bedroom, put him in front of the TV. I believe he was watching cartoons.
Right. In the brief, of course, you give an example that Cabazon was comfortable with the agents, pointing out that she took care of personal matters by asking, for instance, if the little boy could watch cartoons before she talked with the agents, because the little boy was very nervous. But wouldn't that actually indicate that she felt coerced by their presence, in that she didn't feel free to tend to the little boy's needs without asking their permission in her own home? In other words, she didn't feel that she could move about her own home without asking these agents.
I think the record, Your Honor, shows, in fact, that she did feel free she could move about her own home. In fact, that's what she did. The agents waited for her to tend to the boy's need before she returned to the kitchen to discuss the consent. This was something that occurred on her time frame at her request.
Then why would she have to ask the agents, is it all right if I take this little boy to watch cartoons? This is her home, right?
Yes, John.
Why do you have to ask these agents, may I walk around my own home, may I tend to this little boy, if you're not feeling coerced?
In this case, I believe she asked that question because they were in the kitchen at the time. They had already invited her into the kitchen to sit down and discuss the consent.
Well, it indicates she doesn't feel she's free to act in any way she wanted, and that was caution against a finding of voluntariness. If I ask you, can I get off the bench? Doesn't that mean that I don't feel that I can voluntarily get off the bench, that I need your okay?
Go ahead and give her your okay.
He's been trying that for 10 years.
Not me.
Don't fall for it.
Did he repudiate her consent, by the way?
No, Your Honor.
She's never objected that her consent was given involuntarily.
No.
She ever suggested?
No, Your Honor. She gave oral consent and written consent.
So there's nothing in the record to show that she herself thought she was being coerced into giving consent?
Correct, Your Honor.
Okay.
It's the government's position, Your Honors, that this case turns on the district court's factual findings and credibility determinations. The dispositive facts found by the district court and the determinations of credibility were made over a 3-day evidentiary hearing where the district court weighed the testimony offered by the defense witnesses against the government witnesses, and that testimony conflicted on 3 key issues, one of which was whether or not Cabazon's consent was coerced, whether or not the drugs were in plain view, and whether or not...
Did she testify in that case?
Excuse me?
Did the consent whore testify in that case?
Yes, Your Honor.
Did she say she gave consent?
Yes.
She never retracted that position?
No.
And there was a finding of fact that she had consented voluntarily?
Yes, Your Honor.
And which side called her?
Azuenza Tabazon was called by the defense. And in addition to Azuenza Tabazon, they also called Guadalupe Robles, defendant's daughter, who was present. And the judge resolved all of the factual issues in favor of the government. And it's the government's position that once the district court made these credibility determinations and resolved these factual issues, the legal implications of the findings are clear that the consent was voluntary and not the fruit of the illegal entry.
See, Mr. Gerlin, my problem is that you have a woman who's faced with a sudden, violent, illegal entry into her home, in which the occupants are immediately forced to lie down on the ground at gunpoint. And within minutes of that event, which had to be extraordinarily traumatic, she is asked voluntarily to consent to a search. And I'm having a lot of difficulty being able to say that the consent was not obtained by exploitation of that illegal entry, or that it was not tainted by it. I'm really, worried about what comes next. Where does this case lead to?
If I may, Your Honor?
Sure.
This case, in this case, Ms. Tabazon was told before she gave consent that she was not a suspect, that she was not a target. So at the time she gave consent, she had no fear of prosecution, no reason to believe that if she refused consent that she would be running any risk whatsoever. And while it is true, Your Honor, that there was a shorter time span between the legal entry in this case and the consent compared to some other cases, I would submit that the amount of time is not itself relevant. What is relevant is what the person giving consent knew and thought, what information was available to them such that they could make a determination based on their own free will. And here, Tabazon, unlike many of the defendants in the other cases on this issue, knew that she was at no risk, and indeed that she could give consent or not give consent, and that neither decision would result in her being arrested.
So what was her specific testimony at the suppression hearing regarding the consent issue?
Her testimony at the suppression hearing was that she signed the consent, but that the agents had shown her the drugs before she signed the consent. The implication of that being that she was coerced.
And did she testify? Did she say? I want to know specifically, did she say, that she felt forced to do it? Was there anything other than sort of the inference that's drawn from the fact that the drugs were put before?
Yes, she did testify that she felt she had to. The district court, after hearing her testimony and hearing the testimony of the other witnesses and the other agents, rejected her testimony.
Who wouldn't feel coerced under those circumstances? It's a very difficult case. I want to give you that. It's terribly difficult. My fear, of course, is that if we're willing to say that this consent is untainted by the violence, just such a violent, illegal entry and search, then it would be difficult to see how any consent would ever be tainted by an illegal. You understand?
I do, and I don't believe that the facts that the court found indicated that this search was as violent as it's described in the defense brief. And indeed, if the court was to find that the consent from someone not at risk of prosecution in this case could not be obtained simply because the police knocked the door down and secured the premises first, then any time the police entered a premises, they would not be able to obtain consent, because those are really the only facts which occur in almost every case which the defense relies on.
Well, except that we also have the occupants on the floor with guns to them, on top of the door being knocked down.
The testimony was that the officers put their guns away, that indeed when they met with Tabazon in the kitchen that their weapons were concealed.
Right, but immediately upon the entry, everyone had to hit the ground and guns were placed at them. Is that incorrect?
There was conflicting testimony on that issue as well. What the officers testified to, and it was the officers' testimony which the district court found credible, was that when they entered the apartment, everyone in the living room went down to their knees and went down to the ground. They asked them to go down, not that they were all had guns pointed at them. Not that, this is not like the Gillespie case cited in defense brief, which they rely on for this point, where the individuals in the house are being led around the house with guns at their back. It's simply that they entered. They did have guns when they entered.
Well, it sure isn't like the Valencia case that our district judge compared it to either, in which a consent was obtained after, knocking on the door and entering it after it's opened by the occupant.
All right.
Let me ask one other thing. And then in terms of Valencia, there was an hour time gap, wasn't there?
Yes, Your Honor.
A few minutes we have here.
Yes,
so
Your Honor.
Where would you say enough time would be expended that the effect of the illegal search would be dissipated?
I would submit, Your Honor, that the amount of time itself is irrelevant. In Valencia, the hour time period was the time it took the officers to bring the defendant, which had been arrested at another location, back to his apartment where he consented to the search. In that case, you have a defendant who is pretty certain he's going to be prosecuted. Here you have someone who, right from the outset, knows that she's innocent, is told that she's innocent, and indeed is not kept in custody as the individual in Valencia was, but is in fact free to go about her apartment and tend to her needs. So I would submit that the time itself is not a key factor in determining the voluntariness of the consent in this case.
Is time ever irrelevant? I mean, really, time is...
I think it's an easy indicator, but on the facts, I don't think it is. It carries much weight.
Thanks so very much.
Thank you, Your Honor.
How much time? If you need an extra minute or two, we'll have to give it to you because we gave Mr. Gerland all that time. But sometimes it's best not to take it, you know.
Thank you. Your questions are right on point because here we're only talking minutes between the time these officers violently break down the door, come tearing into the apartment with guns drawn, take everybody down on the floor, and then take this other woman into the kitchen, Ms. Tabazon. And understand, even though the court found that they did put away the guns when they took her to the kitchen, there still are officers out in the living room with the remaining people with their guns still drawn. Only minutes. Ms. Tabazon did testify at the trial, and she said she felt threatened. She felt coerced. She also said that the drugs had been shown to her. Also, the daughter said that the drugs had been shown to her.
How old is the daughter?
The daughter was, she's like about 19, I would say 19 or 20. And she also said that the drugs had been shown to her before they obtained the consent. And time is a key factor because when you read the cases where there's some attenuation between the illegal behavior and ultimate consent, there's a substantial amount of time. But here there isn't. We're talking only minutes, Your Honors. Who would not
so
feel...
Let me just ask this question because the government said that if we rule for you on this point, that this is a typical way that searches are conducted, you know, knocking through the door, having everybody hit the floor with the guns. I mean, what kind of impact do you think that would have in terms of how they move about doing their business, which is essentially one of the arguments counsel made?
Well, I think that this isn't the typical way that agents handle cases. Most agents are well-trained and in this situation would have sought a search warrant. As they were outside, it would have been very easy for the agents to have telephoned the on-duty judge and obtained a search warrant. There was no exigent circumstances that threatened any destruction of evidence or any other reason to break in. So typically, agents will get a search warrant, and then they know that what follows and flows from it will be fine. But the agents breaking in this situation is very unusual and not the typical manner. Also, in the rare cases where you do have an agent breaking in and ultimately getting some type of consent, the consent's always from the defendant if he's present. If they get consent from a third party, the defendant's not present. He's been arrested outside. He's at the police station. He's secured in a squad car. I see my time is up.
Do you want to finish your thought?
Just ask that this is a clear Fourth Amendment violation. If we allow this situation to go on, Your Honors, that there's just going to be no line, and we would ask you overturn the decision of the district judge in this clear case.
Okay. Well, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks to Ms. Kugler. Thanks to Mr. Gerland. The case will be taken under advisement. We'll call.